show. Welcome to the show. Gather round, listen close. We got George, Brock, and J.A. bringing you the most NFL podcast.
It's about to go down. Oh, welcome back.
It's going fucking down.
It's a fortnightly podcast at the moment, and we're dealing with it.
Off the top, I don't like this fortnightly podcast at all. I fucking hate this.
I feel like we've just like sort of given the little sister podcast a little go in there.
You know the old saying, the absence makes the heart grow fonder? Well, my heart is so fond of you two bastards right now.
Can't
handle it. Oh, there you go. I said it. Do I sound desperate?
Do you sound different?
Do I sound desperate?
He's a little desperate.
I feel like you're a bit gayer.
He's coming on a bit hard.
In a good way, though.
No Diddy. No Diddy, but no Diddy.
No Diddy.
No Diddy.
Shout out to Diddy. He got some problems. he got some stuff to work through. Look, or Diddy.
I don't know much about Diddy, but I know he in strife.
He in some strife.
Is he the 99 problems guy? Because fuck,
no, that's Jay.
I wish that was his song, because do you know how fun that would be now? He's got one big problem.
He probably got 99 problems.
Well, anyway, bitch wouldn't be one of them if it was his song.
No, it would be Little Children.
Boys, I'm so glad to be back. I'm so glad to see you guys back. It's been a big 2 weeks in football, and all I want to do is talk about it with you two clowns. Thank you very much.
Well, should we start with literally the day after we record? Oh, first of all, Brock, do the social thing that you like to do.
Socials.
Plug the socials. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's been well. YouTube. Got some things coming on the YouTube this season, so make sure you pay attention to that.
Jump on YouTube, because then you can see my fat head.
Like, subscribe, ring that fucking bell.
Wrestling my wife is apparently on the card. So fighting her, apparently. Jordan's going to fight my wife.
It's going to be superstar versus half star.
I'm telling you now. Give me 3 weeks to train her up, she can take you. I'll be in her corner. I'll be the Rocky, she'll be Creed.
As I said, I don't often not back my wife in something, but this is one I'm just super confident in, which could be the downfall of.
She got that mean right hook, and your confidence is through the roof, bro.
I don't know if she could reach my face with her arms.
I'm sure Soph doesn't listen, but if she does, shout out to Soph. I'm in your corner, figuratively and literally.
We'll set up a boxing ring in the garage.
Just shut the fucking door, go full cage match, bro.
Just cage match. That might, if there's no rules, then I know I've got it, because you two both know.
Oh, I know.
I will use anything to my strength.
And you don't
mind
betting a rule to suit your own endeavor.
No, hey, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Mm-hmm. As the great Cody once said.
Shout out to Cody.
So last week, obviously, literally the day after we recorded, the big trade went down of Justin Fields. The Bears traded him to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a can of Coke, a flat football, and a broken pump.
And a broken pump, pretty much. What was it in the end? It was a six-round pick. Which can be a fourth round, is that right?
If he plays 53% of the snaps next season, it goes to a fourth.
Right.
So,
but interestingly, what was it, like a week after that? They signed fucking Russell Wilson.
No, it was before that. They signed Russell Wilson before. Fields was after Russell Wilson.
No, we discussed
Russell Wilson last week.
Wilson was first. Wilson was first.
Wilson
and then
on the vet man, and then they trade for Fields.
Yeah.
What did they trade Kenny Pickett for?
They traded him for more than what they gave up for Fields. Like a fourth and a seventh or something to the Eagles.
To the Eagles for some fucking bizarre
reason. And then all this stuff came out that apparently Kenny Pickett was just a massive fucking bitch on the team. And when he was benched, he was sooking up and saying, oh, I'm not going to be a backup, blah, blah, blah. So they trade him to the Eagles, where he can be a number two behind an even better quarterback.
Exactly.
If I was him, I would have shut the fuck up and watched Russell Wilson ruin the show, and then he might have got a chance.
He would probably take over at week seven anyway.
I saw the best fucking video. It was a Madden sort of like they're doing Madden 26. Madden 25, they're doing all the fucking reanimations again.
Yeah.
And they had Kenny Pickett there, and he's like, oh, yep, get one. You like celebrated in a touchdown for Hurts. Yep. Two arm, one up. Just sit on that bench and like hold the tablet real quick and like, oh, improvising Kenny Pickett. Oh, do you want to get me throwing? No, no one's going to use you next year, bro. You're not needed. And he's going, this is a dude. He's like, why do you got the dots on my face? He's like, oh, Mike bet me $50 that you wouldn't do it.
Oh.
It's a fucking bat. I'll find it again. It's fucking
I'm going to get the next Madden and use him just to show to the world that someone will use him out of spite.
Out of spite.
But the Fields trade.
You're a humanitarian, man.
I'm just trying to look after people's mental health. We're in a mental health crisis.
People helping people. You can say that again.
Yes. So I guess for the Steelers, from my point of view, I don't hate it. You give up fucking nothing. I guarantee you they will make sure he only plays 47% of the snaps next year, if Wilson's struggling.
Fourth round if he plays 51% of the snaps.
Yeah. So for the Bears, I don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
Like, you've got the number one pick either way.
Mm.
Why not sit on it and wait for the draft? Take Caleb Williams if you want to.
Yeah.
And then have Fields there as if a big quarterback gets injured in the off season,
which
the preseason.
Always happens in training camp.
Normally always happens if a, you know, a rookie comes in and they're not quite, they don't think he's quite ready.
Yep.
If Aaron Rodgers decides all of a sudden, you know what, I'm going to go be the vice president and fucking help whoever which the rumors he was going to do. The Jets might give you something more. Like, maybe Kirk Cousins isn't quite ready for the season. They're like, well, fuck, let's go get.
I think they just wanted to just pull the pin, rip the Band-Aid off and just be done with it.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little harsh. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, he was never in a great situation. It was almost like he was always set up to fail there. Like, he had very, very minimal talent. Fucking dumpster fire of an organization, like who's going to go there, mate? We've said it how many times? Yeah, how many Pro Bowl quarterbacks have they had? They're just no good, mate.
One in their history.
That's what I'm saying. They're just a nothing. They're a nothing franchise. They're just shit. Like, everyone that goes there is going to be shit. Even Caleb Williams, he could be the next Andrew Luck, fucking Russell Wilson, and everyone else put together. Like, he's going to go then, he's going to be shit too. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, you could be the world's greatest employee. You go to a shit workplace, you're going to be fucking shit. It's as simple as that. Sorry, I just had to rant that out. Sorry.
No, it's fair. He only needs, like, 2,500 yards to break the rookie record for quarterbacks in Chicago.
Yeah.
He could possibly do it by round 7.
Oh, he can easily do it. Because they also traded for Keenan Allen, the Bears. I didn't mind it.
Here's my take. I'm on him.
You're on Caleb Williams.
I've turned around. I hated him 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
I've turned around. I think he will be pretty good.
I think he's got the skill. Like,
he's clearly got talent.
If you're going number one, you've
got talent, but
you can play. As simple as that.
He's going to be a big body quarterback. He's going to be able to fucking move. Justin Fields is not a fucking big body quarterback. Let's just put it that way.
He's big. He's not big. He's not huge.
He's not tall.
He's
not tall.
Oh,
no, Fields was like 6 foot, didn't he? Oh, 6 foot.
Oh, I thought he was like 6'4".
No, Fields is fucking tiny, bro.
I don't think he's that big. Mm. I think he's like 6'1".
But yeah. Caleb Williams is going to be cold weather fucking quarterback. He'll be able to fucking shine there. I reckon he'll be a good fucking shout for.
He's 190 centimetres. So
who? Justin Fields is?
So 6'3". Okay. Yeah. Almost 6'4".
6'2", yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. Whatever. So he's not, but I think the thing with Fields, and I can understand, I just feel, and we know this is a business. We know the NFL is a business, but from like the end of last season, Caleb Williams was basically saying, I'm not fucking playing for the Bears.
Yeah.
His dad was. So whether that was Caleb Williams or not, and, you know,
You'd have to think so, wouldn't you?
Well, RG3 during the week came out and said a few things. First of all, he said it reeks of bust, and also he needs to get rid of his fucking dad from his life.
I agree.
It reeks from his sporting life, because it's now his business life. He needs to just be like, Dad, I'm going to hire a
proper agent, a manager.
I'm going to hire a manager, finance manager.
Yep, 100%. Business manager.
If you want to give your dad a clip, fucking give him a clip, buy him a house, whatever you want to do, I don't care, but just set it up properly.
You can have him on the payroll, that's fine. But like, you don't want him at the forefront, at the vanguard of your fucking career, making decisions and like being 100%. The mouthpiece. No way, bro.
He can't be a spokesperson for you as a player. He can't be a mouthpiece. Because he's only going to do damage. And then on the others...
It's LeVar Ball all over again, bro.
Well, LeVar Ball probably did a great job with his kids because they're all fucking famous and half of them, they barely even fucking play.
Yeah, well,
one of them doesn't even play in the NBA.
I don't disagree. Yeah, but you get
now he's shut the fuck up though, LeVar Ball. You don't hear about him anymore.
No, but I think the big, I can't remember who fucking said it now, but a Chicago Bears player said he's got to drop all the Hollywood shit when he comes into the locker room,
bro.
And actually earn his fucking respect.
100%.
Because it's like, okay, that works in college because you're the best player.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In college, like in the NFL, every person was the best player on their fucking college team.
Yeah.
If not, top five.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's how it fucking works. It's so much fucking harder, and it's going to be a massive growing up situation. But I reckon if anyone could do it, it's going to be Caleb Williams.
If anyone can turn the Bears around, I agree.
I don't disagree. He's got the talent. It's just, can he do it upstairs?
I don't know. He's been the number one pick for the last 24 months.
Yeah.
You got to
remember. There's no doubt if you had the number one pick, you're taking him.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there's no doubt.
But that's what I mean, though. If he's been the number one pick for the last 24 months, someone would have seen something in his game to think, oh, he's actually not that good. He's going to be a bust. Someone would have found that already.
And he wasn't a massive winner in college. Like, they didn't win a national championship or anything, which I think speaks even further for a prospect. If you've got a guy like, you look at every Alabama quarterback, basically.
Exactly.
Back in the day, anyway. They were winning national championships every year. Every one of their quarterbacks was shit. They were just loaded with talent.
Yeah.
So I think he's different. He definitely carries the USC from what I saw of college, which isn't a great amount.
Yep. Yeah,
in fairness.
The same. I didn't see much. Yep.
So I think, they're going to take him. We'll see how it plays out. They've got DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, now Keenan Allen. I loved Keenan Allen. The Chargers came to him and said, you need to take a pay cut. And he was like, I've just come off my best fucking season ever. Yeah. And he apparently said, you've got three options here. You let me play and you pay me, you trade me, or you fucking cut me.
Yeah.
There's no fourth option.
Good.
And I think that
I love that.
100%. I'm sick of these fucking organizations signing these guys to massive contracts, backloading them, and then when they're still playing at a good level, like if he was a shit fourth string receiver, they just cut him anyway because he's got no value.
Sure.
And they came to you and said, look, we're going to cut your salary in half, or we're going to cut you and this is what your market is in the open. You'd be like, okay, cool, I'll take it.
All right, whatever.
He's just come off his best statistical season ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's older, but he can go and be with DJ Moore.
Doesn't matter.
Who's
he's
a really
producing, mate.
100%.
Doesn't matter. Your age is irrelevant. Your numbers are what matters.
And I think he is a rookie's dream. Because he is a route runner that gets open and makes contested
experienced
catches.
Experienced guy, experienced head. He'll be able to he'll be able to coach him up, advise him, you know, talk to him, maybe even teach him how to be a professional.
Yeah, and I stand by, like, I truly believe this. If the Bears can't get this right with Caleb Williams, they're doomed forever. I think this is honestly the best opportunity they're ever going to have. They've got the number one pick.
I think you're right, man.
The best talent, the best quarterback they can get. He is talked about as a generational talent, which I feel like there's one every year, but there's not. But he's talked
in the
Lawrence, Luck, RG3, that sort of Burrow. Like he's talked about in that sort of element, which not every year there is. Like last year there wasn't with Pickett and all those guys. Like, Stroud and Thingo weren't. But
he's
really even Stroud and Bryce Young weren't really talked about in that level.
No, they weren't. No.
No, they were just the 1-2.
Yeah.
Who's going to be 1 or 2.
Just who needs quarterbacks the most, which is always, you're always going to have a quarterback go 1-2.
I agree. He's got the talent and he's got some good pieces around him. I just don't trust Chicago as an organization.
No.
I think if there's a way they'll fuck it up, they'll find it.
And on the other hand, with the field situation, like what a flip from the end of the season where they were literally like, like even I was like, they've got a meal ticket here. They've got Fields who's on a rookie contract for two more seasons.
Yeah.
They've got two picks in the first round. They can trade back. They can get a tackle, a wide receiver. Yeah. And the Bears have just gone, nah.
But now you're going to get a
rookie. You reckon they should have rode with it for another year?
No.
But that's the thing. Now you're going to get a rookie quarterback for 4 years.
So I don't
and
hate
you build around him already.
Like, are you a Super Bowl team? Are you a playoff team with Justin Fields next year? No doubt about it. No, I don't. I don't think they are.
You're a 60% chance.
Not in
that division.
You're resetting your rookie deal. You've got a ton of fucking cap.
Yeah, they've got
and we
cap.
Can see teams are constantly in cap hell at the moment, and they're losing teams like players like crazy because of it.
Yep.
So I think they've reset the rookie market. They've got that rookie quarterback for 5 years. If he's a stud, you pay him. If not, you're resetting. Your coach is getting fired. Your GM's getting fired. And you're starting again anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So I don't hate the rookie reset, but I do have to say I feel a bit for Fields. It's a very unfair world sometimes. And I think he's been, although I don't think it's the wrong decision, and time will tell with that. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of a way up on what they've done, and they've gone one direction where other people would have gone the other. I get it.
Mm.
But if he goes to Pittsburgh and becomes a fucking stud,
and
the Bears are shit again, but the chances are he's not going to either because we've seen a fair bit of Justin Fields.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I reckon it takes 3 to 5 starts to see if a kid's got it.
To see if you can, it doesn't take long. I can remember watching Dak Prescott's first start and thinking, I don't know what it is, but he's got something about it.
Yes.
You can tell. I remember watching Lawrence in that awful Urban Meyer year and thinking, I remember watching Zach Wilson and thinking, this guy hasn't got
it.
See, with the Trevor Lawrence, I don't think you can say he has it yet.
No, I think I actually think he's regressed.
The jury's absolutely has. He won a playoff game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
To not like, making the playoffs at all.
Everyone knew Stroud after his second game was this dude can play.
This kid can play.
He
doesn't
had some
turn it over.
Balls on
he's
him.
Accurate. He's a leader. The team loves him.
It sounds really harsh and it sounds like a really small sample space and even a bit short-sighted, but I still believe it. Like 3 to 5 starts is all you need to sell.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, he came in like that Cincy team was terrible and he looked like a fucking
he looked like
a 10-year veteran, bro.
Nah, he blew his knee out his first year.
But his second year, couple games, he still
even at the
good.
Start of his first year.
I think he played like 2 games.
The big thing was if they can protect him, this kid's a gun.
Yeah.
Like that's what everyone was the O line was so bad.
I think he played 9 games his first season, bro. 8 or 9 games.
It'll be interesting though. It's certainly it adds some excitement in Pittsburgh, which is something we haven't got. And I stand by, like, if they can get mid-level quarterback play. I think
they're going to be a bit of a fucking gag, to be honest. Did you see that? Did you see that? I know we saw it. That video of fucking Russell Wilson doing his like his training montage.
Oh, fucking, I literally commented, sent to you guys saying, "Is this guy a parody of himself?"
I actually thought it was satire. Like, yeah. What is this, man?
I thought it was fucking one of those guys that does all the clips and stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought it was like a
Drewski sort of clip.
That's fucking Russell. That's actually him. Before we move on from this. Neil Oliver, the great Skinny Oliver.
Shout out.
Long time listener of the show. He sent a bit of a message.
Here we go. I like Skinny's message.
Let me just read. There's my response and then his messages. So he wrote, "Hey, 2010 team plaque holder. Asked the Baltimore Hobbit and George the Repeater how irrelevant Pittsburgh are now. They repeatedly said how the most decorated and successful team was irrelevant. Well, jerk-offs, keep watching. Wilson and Fields will be laughing at George's Navara and Hobbit's fake texts from female women. Spending $4.5 million on those two quarterbacks is definitely worth it. Looking forward to the next show, mate. Carlton suck. Cheers, Skinny." And I wrote, "Mate, I'm with you. Steelers on the most improved." He said, "I'm pumped for Fields. The world is his oyster with us, and obviously I'm trying to be mean and George and Brock. They are great." And I said, "They are fuckheads, but they're my fuckheads."
they're our fuckheads. Look, if I was a fan of the Steelers, I'd be as angry as he was too, so that's fine. That's fine.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was a good message. I got that about like 7 in the morning. I woke up to seeing that, and I was just like, bang. How to wake up on a Tuesday morning. This is fucking in your face. I'm into it.
Any and all feedback is appreciated. Thank you very much.
100%. Should we move on to a couple of retirements? I don't know if we did Fletcher Cox. I think we did, but just if we didn't, Fletcher Cox retired.
Shout out to Fletcher Cox.
He's my boy.
I love him.
I think he's only been second to one interior defensive lineman for the past 10 years, and that's another guy who retired last week, who's Aaron Donald, which is, it's a shitty day for football. He goes out pretty on top still. He was very good last year.
Yeah, he was good.
Yep. 10 years. It's something like 7 All Pros, 8 Pro Bowls, 3 Defensive Players of the Year. Like, I think you'll struggle to find a defensive tackle, certainly in the modern era, that has done what he has done.
I saw some memes through the week.
Yeah.
And it was, "Hey, Dad, how good was Aaron Donald?"
And they got like 3 linemen blocking him.
And he's getting triple teamed. Like,
and held.
Held. Like face mask, and it's like, yeah.
I would argue he's pretty good. Aaron Donald changed what defensive tackles are viewed as now.
Yeah.
He's smaller and quicker. When he was drafted, everyone was like,
he's undersized.
That's true.
He's going to get pushed around. But what he has done is he's won with quickness, skill. If you're a young, and strength.
He's a big,
bench presses 500 pounds. I remember that Barstool one where he had DK Metcalf. And he's like, "Oh, they said to DK, do you reckon you bench press more than Aaron Donald?" He's like, "Yeah." And then they're like, "How much do you do?" And Aaron Donald's just sitting there calm as a cucumber. He's like, "About 500. And DK's like, can I take back my answer? But he's an animal. And I think if you're a young defensive lineman in any area of the world and you want to learn how to play football, watch what he does with his hands. You just will not see a fucking person that does it better than him in the history of football, I believe.
Did you ever see the clip of him before the game, like training?
Because he was getting slapped?
No, he had not.
The knives?
They were like using knives to fucking like,
it's crazy.
Hand fighting with knives. So like the guy was like...
Real knives. So they'd like come at him to stab him and he was like using his hands to flick the knives away.
It's fucking unreal. I'll send it to you. It's incredible.
Hey,
they said they were real knives. I want to believe that the Rams as an organization wouldn't be like, yeah, try and stab him with a real knife.
They said they were real knives and he was like, they're fake knives. But we don't believe they're fake because you've got to have the fear of getting stabbed to not get stabbed.
They've got those knives that like the jiu-jitsu people use. They put there's like a knife with a texture in it. So like to practice not getting stabbed. And obviously if it gets you, it draws on you. So then you've just been fucking sliced.
You could just use that with like a bingo marker, man.
No, it's got to look like a knife for the fear.
The fear.
I'm almost certain they're not going to attack their all-pro D tackle with real knives.
Yeah, I'm not almost certain. I'm like 100% certain.
Come on, bro.
But also, he's that sort of psycho that Sean McVay might be like, "Do you have to use real knives, Aaron?"
And
he just look at him and he'd be like, "Use the real knives. Do you want me to get you some more? Do you want a butcher's knife? Do you want a samurai sword?
Cleavers.
What are you after? Like, just tell me what you want. Just please don't retire." So yeah, I think that's it.
It is
a sad day, but a great career. Short in scheme of like superstar players.
Thing is, that position, you get beat up a lot.
And he had enough. He had, he had nothing left to prove. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done everything in his career.
That he can.
Yeah.
He
so I get one. For him. And I think they kind of convinced him last year to come back for one more year.
Yeah.
And the year before, they paid him a crap load to come back. Right. I think he was like, I'll do another year. I respect it. He's done well. Yeah, this is him fighting with the knives.
Wow.
It's wild. If you haven't seen this.
This is great radio, by the way, but I don't care.
Look, that's a knife in his hand. That's a fake knife. See?
I don't know, bro. It could be real.
Nah,
it's a fake knife.
It's a fake knife for sure. Yeah. It's what you buy at Target with your fucking Pirates kit.
It's just...
Okay. I've got a few of them. It's I play dress ups.
Is that right?
Not in the bedroom. Just for fun. I just go in the backyard, pretend there's on a ship. And
we have a pirate on that team?
We're the best player.
any other retirements we need to talk about?
Well, the only other one that was I thought was a bit bigger, just because it was a bit sad, Leighton Vander Esch from the Cowboys. Mm. Obviously, he was a highly drafted guy, first round pick. His first couple of years were outstanding. He then started getting some really bad neck injuries. He missed almost a season and a half. Came back last season, and I think we spoke about Georgie. He was like one of the most underrated players in the league.
Very.
Got hurt again last year, and I will say he got hurt on a Trent Williams fucking cheap shot because that's what Trent Williams does a lot. Great player, but I think you'll find most players think he's cheap as fuck.
Yeah.
But it happens. It's football. It's life. You play to the edge of the whistle. Like I get it. But it's sad. It's a sad day. Only 5 or 6 years into his career,
definitely showing a lot of potential.
Yeah. So I think
he was a key guy for you guys.
Yeah. Too. It was a big loss last year. It was a massive loss. So I think it's probably good for him. He needs to look at your neck, something you don't fuck around with. And
definitely
in football, you were going to use your neck a lot. Dude, so it's great decision. It's a crappy day for the Cowboys as a team losing a player like that, and then just for the football, like losing a guy to an injury. It's never good. You want guys to go out on their own terms.
Losing guys early to injuries is never good, especially guys that are good and are playing well.
Yeah, 100%. And the next thing is we've got some new rules have come in.
What? So I'm.
What do you want to start with?
Fully across this. So what I was hoping you could do
explain the new kickoff rules.
I read the fucking dossier and I sort of tried to make my way through it, but I'm a little bit too fucking.
So the kickoff rules, they've copied the XFL.
The XFL to an extent,
right? Okay. So why is the NFL copying the XFL?
Okay. So what the rule is: ball kick from the 20. You have to land inside the 30 on the other end.
So no, you can get touchbacks, but you're kicking from 15 yards further back now.
Let me explain. You have to kick from the 20. You have to land it within the 30 to zero. If you go into the if you go into the end zone, the ball goes out to the 30 as a touchback. If the ball goes out the end, if the ball lands in, then kicks out, it's a touchback on the 20.
Right. Okay.
So then the offense lands. Oh, the kicking team lines up on the 40. Yep. In front, the team behind the receiving team line up on the 30, so they're 10 yards apart. But then the receiving team can only have 5 people on the line, and then the next 2 have to be off the line.
Right,
and then you have 2 receivers. Is that I do the math right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I missed 2 players. I think it's
6-4-2.
And I read something about the teams. Players can't move.
6-4-1. You had it right.
Yeah,
players can't move. Two
returners.
5-4-1. 2. Yeah.
No, players can't move until the ball lands or something.
To
like
the ball actually. No, until it's touched.
Until someone touches the ball.
Yep.
Right.
And then the kicker can't go past the 50 until it's touched as well.
Yeah. So the reason I like it, it's going to look weird at first.
Yes.
People are gonna be like, what it does is it brings back fucking kick returners.
Yeah, right.
Because now kickers are so fucking good, they just kick off for a touchback every time and no one ever returns the ball.
I also think if you don't land, if you kick a short and it doesn't go from 30 to zero, ball goes to the 40 as well. So it's a touchback to the 40.
So you're now going to have, it's now specializing kickoffs. Kickers can't just come and launch the fuck out of it. Yeah. They're going to be trying to get it as high as they can.
Oh, but it's a thing as well. Like, okay, they're an extra 10 yards back. They will be able to land inside that zone. It just depends how accurate they are.
No, they're 15 yards back. It's a 35.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be the equivalent of an old kick going 5 yards out the back of the end zone, which I know a lot of kickers can still do.
Sure.
But also the 5 extra yards on that, like starting from the 30, you're 2 first downs away from being in field goal range.
Yeah.
So you're going to, and it's going to mean special teams, you're going to have better defenders playing on the kickoff team trying to make tackles. And you're going to have, I think teams will utilize offensive linemen more on the, in the return
no, game. No, so I think it'll be on the return
team. In the return team. Because if you're only 10 yards apart, I don't know, if I was going to pick dudes to be 10 yards apart and block someone, I'd pick as many offense. You got to weigh it up.
But it's a case of, because I did hear a Saints coach on the Pat McAfee show today talking about it, where it's a situation of you used to just be able to put on a fucking running back or a gunner.
Yeah.
To sort of like just get down there and like force it out.
Not now.
Or not really, and not even that. Now you need people that can actually make tackles. So you're going to need an extra linebacker.
And that can take on blocks because you're not going to be able to just out-athlete someone on kickoff anymore. You're going to need to go up, take on the blocker, shed it, and make a tackle.
Go,
So now returners, it's going to bring back the Devin Hesters of the world.
Yes.
Guys that can catch the ball and in a phone booth, make people miss, read blocks, and make a play. So I think it's great.
Well, there was 12 touchbacks in the Super Bowl. So that's 12 dead plays is what they're trying to get rid of.
And you think they've done it?
Yes.
Get rid of that?
Had way too many touchbacks last year.
And now you've not got guys running at each other from 30 yards away.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought they wanted to get rid of returns altogether. That's why they
It's a way to protect players more because you're not having as big a runner. It's more of it like blockers aren't going to be coming up and being like, I'm going to fucking try and wipe this guy out at full speed. It's going to be more, they'll actually, and if you watch the XFL, they run plays in that off the kickoffs. So they have guys down block, guys pull around. It's going to be a lot more organized and I just think it's going to be good. I just want returners with the ball in their hand because right now, you may as well get rid of kickoffs. Yep. Just start from the 25. Punts you got to keep because that's a field position, position thing.
Position, yep.
But kickoffs right now are a waste of time. You score kickoffs a touchdown and you literally walk out of the room while the kickoff happens because you never get a return.
They've begun redundant.
It's going to bring some excitement. It means guys like you'll find more off-ball linebackers are going to make rosters now as special teams players, not your fifth and sixth running backs that they can use. 100%. Yeah. Unless those running backs can show I can block and tackle.
Not only that, some teams won't run a third quarterback because they can't afford to have a third quarterback when they need to be able to have an extra linebacker on the fucking kick.
It'll keep more linebackers on a team. It'll keep more like hybrid defensive end, outside linebacker sort of guys. Yep. And I think I want to see how they work it out. I think more offensive linemen will get on special teams actually blocking people, which will be fun.
I reckon more tight ends as well.
And more
tight ends than linemen, really. But it's a good for the players. Players Association had to sign off on this.
Yep.
And they liked it because it's actually just more plays for the players to actually play in.
Sure.
So it's going to be more players playing,
Being on the kickoff
getting paid.
Imagine being on the kickoff in the NFL and you have to sprint your ass down because you don't want your coach to pull it up in film and go, you're a lazy prick.
You're a lazy
for it to literally go out the end zone, what? Would we say 98% of the time? I don't know what it's probably bad. 90% it would go out. It would be a touchback.
Nah, it'd be more than that.
And it would only not be a touchback is when there's a penalty and the kickers intentionally try and kick it with like lots of height to drop it on like the one.
Yeah.
Because it's a short, they've got a penalty on kickoff and it's a shorter one.
Yeah.
It's about the only time you see them now. So the other new rule, and I don't know. I don't think this one's a popular one. The hip drop tackle.
73% of our kickoffs were touchback last year.
73. Yeah, that's a fair bit.
That's a massive amount. Massive amount. So the new hip drop tackle, this kind of came into the league last year really heavily because of obviously receivers, running backs are getting bigger.
Yeah.
Like the NFL's getting, the bigger guys are getting faster.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting bigger players at all. But like, it's funnily like the D-line and O-line, I feel like are getting smaller so they can get more athletic. But like running backs and safeties and corners are getting bigger and longer and faster. Mm. So this is brought in. There was a few injuries last year with it. I can't remember who the real bad one was. Someone broke their leg pretty badly.
Mark Andrews was pretty bad.
With Logan Wilson, was that the Bengals guy?
Yeah, the Bengals bloke. He did it twice.
I remember Kenyon Drake was another one from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He got hurt pretty badly.
So it's, and people who are like, I get it. It's a bit soft. But people, I remember when the horse collar rule came in, teams adjusted really quickly. And I've heard people be like, oh, well, you know, have fun when DK Metcalf's running down the middle of the field and you're the safety that's got to tackle him. I'm like, well, in my opinion, if you coach up a guy properly to take a good angle, shoot well and tackle with good form, take the leg, you can still take the legs out. What this is stopping is someone jumping on your back or jumping on your legs and dropping all their weight.
Mm.
A lot of the time, it's not necessary.
It's stopping that, wrapping their arms around their waist and keeping your body momentum going through their fucking knee.
100%.
As a running back, great fucking rule to bring in.
I actually don't hate it at all.
It's what causes injuries the most of that sort of like getting caught up, pulled back, because they're still pulling you back and you're fucking going over your body weight.
So the players push for this? Or
I think it's just, whenever guys get injured a lot from a play,
they try and change
it. They're going to do something about it.
Sure.
And that's all that people are in outrage because the tush push didn't get banned. Well, no one's got hurt from the tush push.
Yeah.
Like Jason Kelce will be in like 6 or 7 years. We'll be hearing about it when he's got CTE.
Full on CTE.
Because he's been massacred by it. But like you can't ban the what
you can't ban, you can't ban a play.
I think, and I've said this before, the rule with the tush push is you should just let the linebackers push the defensive tackles too.
Yeah, I don't know why you can't do that.
Because you're not allowed to. And that's what all the defensive players hate. They get a poor nose tackle, gets the center, the quarterback, and then two running backs running in the back and pushing over the top of him.
Yeah.
Whereas his linebackers can't do anything but dive over or try and slip through.
Shoot a gap. Yeah.
So I think if they change that, I think the tush push, it's one injury. Like, I think the Eagles will pay for that at some point, and I hope it's not with Hurts getting badly injured. But if I had a franchise quarterback, I certainly in a Super Bowl to get a first down to win the game.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, you're doing it. I don't know, I reckon I'd be doing it.
I know what you're saying. Like it should be the ace up your sleeve, not your fucking
go into it every time.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be have the narrative of every time you start a drive, it's first and nine. Because if you get 1 yard on fourth and one, you can fucking get it 92% of the time.
It should be the ace up your sleeve, not your brain.
I agree. And I think that will adjust. And I think I truly believe that Jason Kelce not being on the Eagles is going to completely change how they do it. Because other teams tried to do it and couldn't do it. He's the key to it.
Yeah, I think definitely. It was a Sirianni sort of situation of it's going to fucking work. We're just going to make this play. Because if we don't do this and it doesn't work, his head's on the fucking chopping block.
Sirianni's in real strife anyway.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. That's his saving grace of, oh, fuck, we convert for first downs.
We start slow, and he'll be gone by the bye. I'm telling you now.
What's your bye week?
Vic Fangio will take over. That should scare. The fact that he's hired Vic Fangio might be the dagger in his own back for Nick Sirianni, because he's got head coach experience. They will literally be like, we've got a guy that can take over as head coach right now to get through the year.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with that. But the hip drop tackle, I don't know. I know a lot of people have said, oh, it's soft, and yeah, I get it. We're going away from the physicality of football, and I understand the narrative around it, but I don't think this tackle happens that often. But when it does happen, players get hurt.
See,
it's not a hard adjustment for the players.
No, it does happen a lot, but that's because the players are the defenders, not lazy, but it's easier for them to make this tackle than it is for them to actually take a proper angle.
Well, I think it's actually
and drive their feet through a fucking this tackle.
Tackle is of someone who's put themselves out of position.
Yes,
and it's a bailout, and I don't think you deserve that if you're not in the right position.
I'm a big fan of JJ Watt. What he was saying on it with defender fucking, oh, I can't touch a quarterback's knees, but an offensive lineman can dive at my fucking knees every play.
They've changed that a lot though. You can't cut back into the ball. You can only cut in the box.
Not even that though. Okay, you're getting cut. You're getting hit. Front of the knee, and your body weight's going back.
And you're barely out of your stance yet anyway. That's the whole idea of a cut. It's when a guy's coming out of his stance.
But that's saying your legs aren't fucking folding back on you.
No. I've been cut a ton of times, and I've cut people a ton of times. Mm. And trust me, JJ Watt, it hurts more for the person cutting.
Yes.
Because when a big fucking dude falls on top of you with his knees, that's why a lot of dudes don't like doing it, because it fucking sucks.
If someone landing on you hurts.
Yes. It is shit. And if I was a D lineman and someone cut me, I would do everything in my power to land with my fucking knee in his ribs or in his kidney.
Exactly.
And every time a D lineman does it to me, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, fair enough. If I choose to cut you, that's your you can follow me over
exactly
you want.
Exactly right.
Then I'll just keep doing it just to piss you off.
Of course you will.
Fuck him.
The narrative that this tackle is going to be somewhat subjective as well, and it's going to be a first down for 15-yard first down, I think that's the what people are trying to
do. So what is the punishment? It's a personal foul.
Automatic first down.
It's the same
yards.
It's exactly the same as the horse collar rule. Yes. How often do you see the horse collar called now?
Never.
Maybe once a week, maybe.
At best.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Like, you rarely see it because teams have just learned you don't do it.
You just don't do it.
So teams are going to adjust to this. There's going to be a few guys that do it to be fuckwits. Like, there's going to be a few guys that do it just to like be assholes about it.
You just throw the flag and give them a penalty.
And that's it. It's going to hurt their team and they'll be fine. It was like when they changed the how you hit guys in the head and Vontaze Burfict just couldn't fucking work out. Yeah, you can't hit guys in the head anymore.
And now
he's out of the NFL. It literally sent him out of the NFL.
Literally.
Well, Juju Smith-Schuster did.
If it's gonna stop injuries, then I've got no issue with it because I don't want injuries. I want the best players playing every week.
And that's the thing. I think this will. I think it will stop injuries. So,
before we get there.
Yeah, go.
There was an average of 0.47 horse colored tackles per team league-wide.
How many?
0.47% of teams had a horse collar tackle.
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, so fucking none. Basically.
That's what I mean. And that was taken out. That rule was brought in, a lot of people don't know, because Terrell Owens, when he was playing for the Eagles, got his leg broken by being horse collared.
Yeah.
And then he miraculously came back for the Super Bowl and was fucking unbelievable.
Yep.
But that's why they brought it in, because they were like, well, we've got a star player now that's outrun a dude.
That's 15 for the league.
15 in the season. 15, so just 15, under one a week.
15 last season.
Yeah. Well, not even if you take playoffs and everything, it's mm-hmm. well under 1 a week.
Yes.
So, and he broke his leg, and they were like, well, do we want... He's just beaten a guy. The guy's jumped out, grabbed him by the back of the pad. The offensive player now has no way of stopping that because yeah. he's literally horse-collared. You can't stop it. And now we've got a star player out for 8 weeks and potentially... At that point, it was the season. They were yeah. like, we've got a playoff team that's now going to miss their star
yep.
player.
Yep.
We don't want star players out of the league. So they changed it. And yep. no one thinks about it anymore. No one ever thinks about the call. And this is what this role is going to become.
Yeah.
Guys will adjust. They'll change the way they tackle. They'll understand if I don't get my angles and pursuits right, the good players will go, fuck, I need to make sure I'm getting to the outside mm-hmm. shoulder, arm, body across, tackle down low. You can still hit them in the legs. You can still yeah. fly. You can still come full speed and take them out. That's not what this rule is. You just can't grab them from behind and drop your weight.
Yep.
Bend. And I think the big thing is you grab them and you land on the back of their legs and then they pull down over the top of you.
That's what
they're trying to
yes,
stop.
Yes, they don't yep. want the people going backwards over their legs.
It's not if you're running and you grab him and then drop your weight and drag him to the ground. It's if you crash it your weight on their legs.
The Mark Andrews one is the perfect
and
fucking photo.
Logan Wilson's very... He was doing it all last year.
That's all he did. He did it to Mark Andrews. Then the next drive does it to fucking Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And fucks up his ankle.
Yep. Yeah. And guys are doing it because it is a way you could potentially hurt someone.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. Like fucking Sean Payton would be rolling over, I'd say rolling over in his grave. He's actually the Broncos coach, which is as good as being dead.
True.
Ew.
I've got to finish up. I've got a fuck you, fight me.
Righto.
Here we go.
Hear me out here, boys. The New York Football Jets.
Here we go.
Aaron Rodgers obviously came back from injury.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They've made some big one-year deals. Tyron Smith, who I love, but a one-year deal. Can you ever remember or have seen a team that have more riding on one season in the history of the NFL? You find me a team that ever has been like, if they don't get it right this year, they're fucked.
That last season of Manning with the Broncos was pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But they were pretty talented. I'm going to remember Denver had been to the playoffs the last couple of years too. They weren't a bad team. They had Von Miller.
Was that in his last year they won the Super Bowl and then he retired?
Yeah, that was his last year.
And then 3 years earlier,
they were in the Super Bowl.
They lost to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl when he broke all the passing records throughout the year. So I just can't remember there ever being a like Aaron Rodgers is 42 years old, 40 years old, whatever he is. He's an older quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. Like we're all talking about Kirk Cousins' torn Achilles and how that's going to work. Like Rodgers is just susceptible. They've got an aging left tackle who's their O-line's been terrible for years. And I wanted the Cowboys to ring about Tyron Smith. But this is a guy that can't practice because if he practices, he gets hurt. He has to get injections in his back before every game and halftime of every game. You are one shot away from him not being your left tackle anymore and they don't have another left tackle. They've got lots of one-year deals.
David Bakhtiari's still free agent.
Potentially, that'd be another way they could add to the one-year deal. Yeah. Like, this is the thing, like Garrett Wilson, you reckon he's sticking around after next season if they don't have a quarterback?
Take the money and run somewhere.
100%. And I think they are... Salah, this is his only chance. If they're not a playoff team this year, he's gone.
Yeah.
It's just facts. Like, he is gone. I've never seen a team...
I definitely think that if it doesn't go the way that they want it to this mm-hmm. year in New York, they'll be cleaning
There's
house.
No excuses anymore.
They'll be getting the fucking... the fucking.
And that even means if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt again and then they suck at quarterback, the old, Rodgers got hurt. No, not going to swing it anymore. Well, you're fucking new.
Yeah.
You knew he got hurt last year. You got a sample size into what happens if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, and it was fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
And you guys did nothing in the offseason. Okay. You signed Tyrod Taylor in the offseason. Like, is that going to help you?
I mean, he's a good backup.
He's better than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, he's better.
I still argue you're not winning 10 games with him.
No, you're not winning a playoff game with him.
100% not. And that's what I said. This team's riding on
it. So, question to your question then.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that Rodgers can still do it?
Yeah. I think Rodgers has never had to rely on his athleticism to be a good quarterback.
He's sort of like sneaky movement in the pocket.
He does have to.
He does need that movement.
You don't have to be fast to do that. Like Tony Romo is not a fast guy, and he's about the best operators in a pocket you ever saw. Like you don't have to be fast to be a good mover in the pocket.
Yeah,
and he's still got an arm. My concern would be is if he can get through the season again.
Yeah,
he's 42 years old.
Rodgers more rolls out wide and sort of really stretches that out a little bit.
Yeah, but
I think
that's
going to be tough to do.
He doesn't run. And he's been healing. Like, when did Kirk Cousins do his? Like, week 9?
Yeah,
and he's
true.
Good to go. Yeah. Rodgers had another 2 months Rodgers minimum on top
of
that.
I think he'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
I think he'll be ready to go. I'm not worried about the injury. Like, I think he'll be healed and ready to go. I'm saying, has he still got it, is what I'm asking.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe. If he doesn't, this season's a flop. And I can tell you the Jets are all, every single coach in the Jets thing is sitting in that room right now going, fuck, I hope Aaron Rodgers has still got it.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't still have it, we are fucked.
They really have.
Do they draft one, you reckon?
It wouldn't kill him. It wouldn't kill him to draft a quarterback.
You sit behind fucking Rodgers for 1 year, maybe 2 years.
You tell me
you
don't get a Michael Penix in the second round or the kid out of Tennessee, is it Milton, with that fucking cannon of an arm. You get him in and say you're sitting behind Rodgers for a year. They've got to do something because I've never seen a team that is more one and done. Even if they were to win a Super Bowl this year and Rodgers rolls off into the sunset, they'll lose half their fucking team. Like, it'll be a one and done deal.
There's a lot of 1 year deals.
It'd be worth it though. It wouldn't matter.
It would be worth it.
If you got the Super Bowl, it wouldn't matter.
And I think that's about the only thing that's going to save them next year is them going deep into the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. Because if he plays the whole season and he sucks, or they don't make the playoffs, or he gets hurt again, or they can't protect him because Tyron Smith isn't playing every second week and they don't have any other O-linemen, and I think heads are rolling there. This team, I've never seen a team that I've been more confident that if they don't get it right this year, they don't have another year in them to get it right.
So I agree with you that they've definitely hitched their wagon to Rodgers' star. I agree with that for sure. What's a pass mark then for them? What's a pass mark for the season?
I think win a playoff game.
AFC Championship game?
No, I think win a playoff game is enough. I think if they're good enough to get to the playoffs in that division too with Miami and the Bills, who are both very good teams.
I think home playoff game, get a home playoff game is big.
It's going to be tough to win that division.
I know, but like that's their pass mark.
If you get a home playoff game, it's a pass mark.
Yeah.
If you're a wild card and you win your first playoff game, it's a pass mark because you win on the road.
Yeah.
I also stand by, if you get Aaron Rodgers, if your team's good enough to get to the playoffs with and Aaron Rodgers is playing, he's kind of got a bit of the, I know he's only won one Super Bowl, but he's been very successful in the playoffs.
Has he only played in one?
One. Played in one, won one against Pittsburgh, but he's lost in like seven NFC championships.
Yes.
Which people go, oh, you can't win them. Like, it's still fucking hard to get to them.
Yeah.
It's still very hard to get to a NFC championship. So he's got that winning about him. I don't know. I was thinking about it the day and I was like, there is not a team I can remember in my lifetime or have heard about before my lifetime that is so loaded up for 1 year and then regardless of what happens next season, they are fucked.
I think that Broncos team is the one that only one that sort of comes to mind.
Since then, what have they done since then? Since the corpse of Peyton Manning won that Super Bowl, they've been fucking atrocious.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that'll be, even if they, like you said, they win the Super Bowl, he rides off into the sunset, the Jets are still going to be shit for the next 20 years after that.
Anyway. Yeah, I also think they're cursed. And I stood by last year that Aaron Rodgers actually got saved by getting injured because I don't think last year would have gone the way he thought it would. Right. Yeah, they would have been better, but I don't think...
Because?
They can't protect anyone. Wilson was terrible. The poor kid was fucking running for his life literally. 90% of the time.
Yeah,
literally.
Like... They relied on Dwayne Brown last year as their left tackle. What's Dwayne Brown and Tyron Smith got in common? Older tackles on 1 year deals that are injured.
Yeah.
Like they're almost hedging the same bet and hoping Rodgers doesn't get hurt this time.
Yeah.
Rodgers got hurt running away from a D end that Dwayne Brown let through. Yeah. Like, that's what I mean. Like, you can be the best quarterback in the world. If you don't get time, you're fucked.
Your Achilles, though, four plays into the season. Man, that's fucking unlucky.
It was wild.
They really are just a cursed fucking franchise.
What a time to be alive.
They're the Bears of the AFC.
The thing is, it's not the first time it's happened. Alex Tetzverdi as well did the exact same thing first game.
Really?
Popped his Achilles. Yep.
Suck a dick.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
They're fucking just cursed.
I just miss the Chad Pennington days of the New York Jets. Yeah, did he have an arm? No.
I think he might be the only person.
Was he a smooth operator back there, old Chatty P?
Bring back the Chantize. What is it?
Sanchez.
Yeah, Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Bring back Mark Sanchez.
You know what? The everyone we talk about, Mark Sanchez, talks about the butt fumble. At what point, right? Mark Sanchez is the most bullied man in the world for that. At what point is anyone going to get on Damian fucking Woody, guard that had a D tackle literally pick him up like he was an infant?
That was Vince Wilfork, though.
Vince Wilfork is a big man.
That's the only person that could do it.
But Damian Woody is also a big fucking human being, too. It's all perspective.
Mm.
If Vince Wilfork just pushed him back and beat him, He literally picks him up and carries him and then uses him as a battering ram into Mark Sanchez. It wasn't Damien Woody's falling. How did Mark Sanchez not see him?
What I
he
love.
Picked him up like he was the fucking FBI bashing through a door. And fucking Sanchez gets bullied for it all the time. And Damien Woody's just sitting back in his room like, yeah, man, fuck, I don't know. Get out of my way, man.
It's like the Dan Oslotsky running out the back of the end zone as well.
Yeah, like these guys, it's fucking ridiculous.
I love that no matter what he does, you know, he made a couple of AFC Championship games, did that. Yep. The only thing that we talk about is the
fucking buff.
Poor guy. I actually feel bad for him.
Yeah, the Jets are cursed. They're cursed. And I think, I'm interested to say I'm not as excited about him this year. If I told you right now Aaron Rodgers plays every game for the Jets next year at the same level as his last year in Green Bay, so pretty good level.
Yeah, that's what we expected last year.
Would you say playoff team right now, gun to your head, he plays every game at a Pro Bowl Aaron Rodgers level?
Yes.
Are they a playoff team?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they are too.
Like, that's what we wanted last year. That's what we were so hyped up about.
Remember, they're still very good defensively.
You know that the majority of teams, their success or lack of it is tied to quarterback play. If you've got a Pro Bowl level quarterback, like, you're going to be good. You could be the shittest roster there is.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be good.
Yeah. Actually, you know what else has been shitting me this year, talking about quarterbacks and that? And this isn't an attack on Baker. This is an attack on the team.
No, attack him. Fuck him.
No.
We love Baker.
I quite like Baker.
We're pro Baker.
This is an attack on...
We all become a pro Baker.
We're pro sourdough here.
Hubris around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. Carrying on about how fucking good... you motherfuckers were one game above 500, rolled into a team that was almost dead and just needed the last bullet.
Did they
win a playoff game?
They won a playoff game. Let's not get fucking excited about how fucking good you are. But three-time NFC South champions. I'm like, the last two seasons, you've been one game over 500.
Yeah.
If you were in any other division in the NFL, you wouldn't have made the playoffs. That's all I'm saying is they might be better this year. I don't know.
What does the banner say?
Yeah, I get it. But
what
fuck
does
me.
The banner say?
It won't matter.
I think Atlanta have got that division sewn up now for the next 3 to 5 years. They've got it sewn up, bro. Well, how long's Kirk Cousins got left in him?
Yeah, fire out. You could easily be 5 years.
Nah.
Depends if God tells him to or not.
What?
God did. That's a good one.
You know, Kirk Cousins once said, they asked, what would you feel if you had some gay team, if you had a gay teammate? And he was like, what did you say? I wish I can't remember it now. It's fucking wild. Something about, his disability is not my problem sort of thing.
Wow. No. It was...
Full Bible basher.
All right. Like, they're not known for their acceptance of homosexuals. So
here it is. Nobody's perfect.
That's it.
Where the fuck is
it? What would you think? What would you think if you had a gay teammate? Well, nobody's perfect.
What a response. That is such a white man
power
response,
move.
Bro.
Power move.
Yeah, there we go. The Washington Redskin quarterback would welcome a gay teammate, but hope to lead him to Jesus.
What's wrong with that? He's a Christian man. I've got no issue with that. Tall, white,
handsome, gunslinger.
Christian man.
Man of God.
Man of God.
he's the fifth. He's the quin. What is it? The quintuplet?
Quintuplet.
Shout out Kirk Cousins.
Shout out to the Kirker.
God bless you, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, you don't call him Kirker?
No.
I just made that up. I've never called it in my life.
God bless you, Kirk Cousins.
Can we now officially decide that Kirk Cousins will be known as Kirker on this podcast?
Absolutely not.
Can we agree?
I'm not agreeing to that.
No. Fuck it, it's the Kirker.
Two out of three ain't bad. You got to call him the Kirker now.
Hey, bless you, boys. Bless you.
Bless you, Kirker.
Well, that's it. Anyone got anything else? Are we good?
Nah.
That's done for another week. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Peace.
We
might go back.
Stay tuned to the socials. Yeah, fuck those other ones. We'll see you next week, boys.
See you, boys.
Peace. Love.
Yo, welcome to the show. Gather round, listen close. We got George, Bronson, J.A. bringing you the most NFL podcast. It's about to go down. Three amigos ready to run this town. George, man, he's the...